Scripture, if you'd like to read along with me, Philippians chapter number 2 is where I'm going to read today, and ask the Lord to give us direction for this week. And I believe that in my times of prayer in the last few days, the Lord sort of dropped a word in my heart, and I've sort of adopted it as my theme for the year, and that's the way I was looking at it. But as we were preparing for revival, I realized that it's something that I want to share with you today. And so I may be just preaching to myself and hoping that you'll listen in while I do, but I have a feeling that by the Holy Ghost, there's others that he wants to speak to as well. Third chapter of Philippians, you'll recognize this verse. And if you'd like to stand for a moment while we read this scripture, Philippians chapter number 3. I kept saying chapter 2 because my eyes kept falling on that part of the page here, but chapter number 3. And read this familiar verse in verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray and open up our hearts and minds to what the Lord would want to say to us today. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for this service and your anointing upon the singing today and the worship. Lord, we want to praise you. We want to worship you. And we know also, Lord, that you want to speak to us. And so we pray that even from this familiar scripture today, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would draw us closer to you, and that you would prepare us for all that you want to do in these nights of revival. And we'll give you the praise for the outcome in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody say amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I kind of felt like my theme for the coming year was going to be based in this verse here. And the phrase that is in my mind is pursuing my purpose on purpose. I'll probably say more about that tonight and maybe multiple times this week as we develop this theme of pursuing our purpose. But I hope that you'll get that thought in your heart and mind, and make that maybe the driving force of these next several nights of revival, that we have a purpose that we want to pursue. And I think that that's important to us. I don't know about you, but I like to use the first few days of every new year as sort of a reset, a time of recalculation. And part of that has to do with getting through the busy holiday season. You know, we just kind of need a reset after Christmas. That seems almost, sacrilegious to say that, but how many of you feel like Christmas is just a really busy time? Anybody felt the rush and clamor of the holiday season? Now, just pause here to say, in my defense, I love Christmas, and I believe in the message of Christmas. I really do. And I read this quote from C.S. Lewis, his famous book, you know, The Chronicles of Narnia, and that children's story in the early arrival of the children to this imaginary world called Narnia. They see that it's covered with snow and it's cold, and they meet one of the characters there, and the character, I can't remember his name, he says to the children, here in Narnia, it's winter, always winter and never Christmas. always winter and never Christmas. It was a strange introduction to these children, but it's become a point of study for theologians and what it might have been that C.S. Lewis was getting at there. And I think that today, on this cold Sunday morning, where we're, you know, fighting a little bit of a shiver, the reality is that the winter time is a dark, cold, harsh season. But Christmas sort of brightens it up a little bit. Imagine a life without Christmas. Imagine a winter and a life where there's no joy, no hope, no lights, no laughter, no presents, none of that. I don't want to live in a world without Christmas. I like it. Y'all looking at me funny this morning. Brother Blue has lost his mind since the last time we saw him. I'm just trying to connect to where we are right now to where maybe we've just come through. And really, the American and modern celebration of Christmas really does create a lot of problems with decorations and rushing and shopping and all of that. And it can have a draining effect upon us, and it interrupts our sleeping habits, it interrupts our eating habits, it interrupts our devotional habits if we're not careful. And so when we get past that busy season and then we suddenly look at our calendar shouting at us that it's a new year, to me it's a time of hopeful reset. And okay, it's time now to get back to business. It's time to get back to what we know. While Christmas is in some ways a fantasy, and I'm not talking about the Christmas message at the heart of it, the little baby in the manger and the hope that he brought and the reason for the season. I'm talking about all of the stuff that we put around about it. And realize that we don't live in a world of twinkling colored lights and decorated Christmas trees. And so now it's time to use the message of the hope of Christmas and the possibility of a new year and put it all together as a catalyst for us to move forward towards whatever it is, amen, that God has laying ahead of us in the days and weeks to come. I believe that God has a purpose and a plan for us. I believe He has a plan and a purpose for me. I believe that He has a plan and purpose for this revival, that He has brought us together for this season, for these next few days. And so there's something inside of me that feels a compelling desire to press towards whatever it is that God has for us. Can you say amen to that this morning? Praise God. This morning, I may not dwell so much on this idea of the purpose yet, but I want to dwell on another aspect of it, and that is found maybe in this word press that the Apostle Paul uses here. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. I'll explain a little bit more about this in a moment, but the title of my message is The Power of Pursuit for today. The power of pursuit, the importance of pursuing, and how we need to pursue this purpose. That purpose doesn't happen to us by accident. That, in fact, purpose in itself is a word that is both a noun and a verb. The noun being that purpose, that thing that we're searching and pressing towards. But in the verb sense, it is the sense of feeling a purpose and doing it on purpose. Y'all with me so far this morning? Amen. And so if we're going to do it on purpose, if we are going to pursue what it is that has that is lying before us, that we feel like God has for us, then we want to do it on purpose, a driving force, a pursuit. Amen. I believe that there should be a pursuit of purpose. Oh, there's a power in that word, pursue. And I believe that today, maybe we should start the revival with just thinking about the importance of firing up this idea of pursuing, because pursuing is a powerful word. In that word pursuit is the idea of urgency. I need to pursue. There's something that is pulling upon me, driving me. Maybe at this moment, think of the message coming over the police scanner, I'm in pursuit, meaning that something is happening, a criminal is fleeing, the officer is in pursuit. There's a sense of urgency in that voice, pursuing, I'm in pursuit. Amen. Are you in pursuit this morning? I know on this Sunday morning, oftentimes we wake up with sleepiness in our eyes and feeling a sense of duty and obligation. Here we are in the house of the Lord. But this is only the second Sunday of a new year, and we've designated this Sunday as the start of a revival. And there is something in the atmosphere that should make us feel like we are now in pursuit. It's time to get up and move. It's time for us to set our eyes on a prize and move in that direction. It's time to get busy. It's time to get awake. Amen. It's time for us to feel a sense of urgency. There's also in that word pursuit a sense of expectancy. You can't pursue something that you don't expect has a end, has a purpose, has a reason. Amen. Paul said, I press toward the mark, toward the prize. Obviously, he has his eyes on the prize. And he said, I am pressing towards that. I am pursuing. Amen. With a sense of expectation and expectancy in that purpose. And I believe that the power of this pursuit involves not only urgency and expectancy, but energy. It's going to require effort. I'm in pursuit, meaning I'm physically involved. I'm emotionally involved in this. I am pursuing. And so while I feel a sense of urgency and expectancy, it's going to involve some energy. And in this pursuit, there's a power, because it's bringing together forces in our life, in our heart, in our mind, in our spirit. I wish that the Lord, amen, would help me this morning to convey to you what I feel like He has conveyed to me as a theme for my life, and maybe a theme for our revival, is it's time for us to pursue, amen, pursue a purpose, not on accident, not sitting on the sideline waiting for it to just fall into our lap, but to get up and get on our feet and get it in our heart and get it in our mind and in our soul that I'm in pursuit. It's time for me to press on, amen, and do it with a sense of urgency. I love the Old Testament story that actually contains the word pursue. And by a matter of explanation and fact, the word pursue does not appear in the New Testament. It's multiple times in the Old Testament. In fact, in its root Hebrew word, I think it's 143 times in the Old Testament. The word pursue itself is about 25 times in the Old Testament. But especially this story in chapter 30 of 1 Samuel, where David has made his headquarters at a town called Ziklag, and him and his fighting men have been coming and going out of that town, and they've made their homes there, even if they're temporary homes. This is their headquarters, and they're fighting the enemy, and David is fighting forces on every side, the visible physical enemies around about him, but also forces within that he knows There's a calling upon him. He's been anointed. God has made him a future king of Israel. He's not that yet. He still has opposition from the existing king, Saul, who has, for some reason, decided he doesn't like David. And he feels the sense of that invisible enemy around about him. David's in a battle. And now, while he's away fighting, an enemy comes from a different direction and comes in and destroys Ziklag, destroys their homes, takes their families captive away. And David now is greatly disturbed, and the men that are literally on his side are now in their hearts turning against him and blaming him for this thing happening. But the Bible tells us, and I've preached many times from this other verse, verse number 6, where David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, sometimes we got to do that. Sometimes you just got to pat yourself on the back and say, come on, self, let's praise the Lord. Come on, self, let's worship the Lord. Come on, self, it may be that everything is against you. It may be that situations are in opposition to you. Amen. But don't let yourself get discouraged. Not here, not now. This is not the time. It's time to get up. Amen. And do something about what is happening right here. Amen. And David called for the ephod, which was the priestly means of seeking after the Lord. And he got a hold of that ephod and in the presence of the priest, and he besought the Lord, and he said, Lord, Lord, should I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue. Pursue. Somebody say that word this morning. Everybody say, pursue. Amen. Praise God. And without fail, recover all. Woo, what a hope in that message. God tells David, pursue, and without fail, you're going to recover the things that you have lost. You're going to regain some things, amen, that have been taken away from you. You're going to get some things back that you haven't had for a while, but you're going to have to do the pursuing. Amen. I feel like God would say to us this morning, pursue, church. Amen. I don't know what it is that you're missing. I don't know what you have lost. I don't know what has been taken away from you. But the hope here this morning is that God has a purpose. He has a plan. He has a desire. He has a revival. Amen. Plan for you. But you're going to have to put some energy into it, some urgency into it, and some expectancy into it, because that's at the heart of pursue. Amen. There's a power in that. God wants us to pursue. Amen. I think that that's what Paul was getting to, though he didn't use that particular word. He feels an urgency. He feels an expectancy, and he has an energy even as an elder preacher of the gospel now. Amen. He says to this church at Philippi several things throughout chapter 3 about his understanding of the gospel and where God has brought him from and where God has brought him to. He talks about what he used to be as a religious man before he met Christ. And he talks about how he even persecuted the church because he didn't understand what the gospel meant. And he's reliving a few of these memories when he leads up to this famous verse here. And he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. Y'all hear? Forgetting those things which are behind. Amen. There's a sequence of things that happens here in this chapter that I think gives us a scenario of the elements of pursuit and purpose. And it starts a little earlier in the chapter when he starts saying, I realize I admit, I'm not perfect yet. I have not yet apprehended. I haven't gained it all. I don't understand it all. Let's start right there. Let's admit, amen, and recognize along with the Apostle Paul, we haven't yet arrived. We haven't yet achieved it all. We haven't apprehended it all. In fact, I don't think the true apprehended comes until we get there, amen, and into our eternal purpose and our home, and there when we finally know, even as we are known, and we achieve what our heart longs for, and we get to meet, amen, our old friends like Brother Jim Suits, and loved ones like we have lost in the last several months and years. And I'll just pause here to say last year was a hard year for our family and my wife's family, the Harris family. Amen. My brother-in-law, who pastors over here at Central City, Kentucky, lost his wife in a tragic car accident. And we were grieving her loss when in the early part of 25, we lost her dad unexpectedly, even at 93 years old. He was full of vigor and life. And we didn't expect it, but he ran on ahead of us into heaven. And then in the latter part of the year, we lost her mother, and in between times, friends and other things happening in our life, to the point where, bear with me just a minute here this morning. New Year's Eve at our church, Bethel Chapel in Granite City, Brother Dawson Brooks, our new pastor, had me get up and say something. I kind of stumbled. I can't say that I really added anything to the service. And in some ways, I sort of regret the way that I said some of the things that I said in recapping what I just did, our losses, heartaches, and hurts of the last year. And then I said, as far as I'm concerned, goodbye past and hello 2026. Amen. That's, I guess, a very overly simplistic a way of saying it. But then again, I realize that there are things about the past that we don't want to lose. We don't want to just give up totally on the past. There are things to be learned from the past. There are things that we love about the past. There are people in our past, things that are the lessons, the knowledge, the experiences that we have had that we will cherish from the past. I don't want to be insulting, amen, to the past, generally speaking. Amen. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And that all is a series of God's grace, amen, in his life and in mine. We have a story to tell. And our past tells us of where God has brought us from and what God has brought us through. Thank God he's brought us through. We've got to this point by the help and the grace of God. And so I don't want to just totally say goodbye past and forget everything about the past. But I do want to tell you this. It's part of the sequence here of Paul's pursuit. Amen. When he says, I first of all recognize that I haven't yet achieved everything. Secondly, amen, I forget those things which are behind me. There are some things we need to forget. There are some things that we need to leave behind. If we're going to go forward, there are some things that we can't keep holding on to. Here we are in 2026, brand new year. By the way, I do know that this is the second Sunday of the year, but this is my first time here, so will you allow me to join in and saying, Happy New Year. All right. Amen. Happy New Year. Paul, amen, is reaching forth to something new that is ahead of him and unexperienced yet. But he has to let go of some things. And here he is in this conundrum of time. And I see it here kind of wrapped up in the language of his process here. The past, the present, the future, all in this moment, this critical juncture of his life. And here we are at a transitional time, entering into 2026. Amen. And if 2026 is like getting on an airplane, flight 2026, can I tell you, amen, there's some rules in getting on the airplane. You can only have 2 suitcases and 1 carry-on bag. You got to make a decision right now. What are you going to carry with you and what are you going to leave behind? Amen. There's some things that we don't need to carry into the new year. Amen. Those old bad attitudes, leave them behind. Amen. Those old angers and hurts from the past, maybe we ought to leave those behind. Amen. The old bitterness, the old baggage, as we say, the things that have just weighted us down, we don't have to keep carrying that. The old cares, the old confusions, the old disappointments, the old experiences, amen, and events that don't mount up to anything. Like Paul saying, I used to be a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, but it's like garbage to me. It doesn't matter. It didn't benefit me. It was an experience in my past that I choose to forget and leave behind. Come on now, there's some things you can carry forward with you, but some things you're going to have to leave behind. Amen. How about the old gripes and grudges? Don't you think it's time to bury them and leave them behind? The old hopelessness and heartaches and hurts that left you suffocated in this world of doubt and feeling like you're never going to get over it, never going to get over it, never going to get over it. It's time to get over it. By the help and grace of God, let's leave it in the past and let's press on. Press on. Amen. The hopes, hopelessness and heartaches and the old irritations and the old joylessness and the old lies and the old mistreatments and the old neglects and the old offenses. If you haven't caught on yet, I'm going through the whole alphabet right now. Amen. I started with attitudes and I'm now on problems and pressures and questions and quandaries and resentments and rejections. Oh, I wish somebody would say amen this morning. Sins and sadnesses and struggles and stress. There are some things that we have got to get past. We've got to leave it in the past. Make a decision, a choice. This one thing I do. Amen. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press. Is this an easy thing? I don't think so. There's still going to be some shadows and haunting things that come and try to lay hold of us again. And Paul is even telling us that. They still come back in a way that haunts me. But I'm making a choice. That is not the way that I want to live. That is not where I'm going to stay. Jesus saved me. Jesus came into my heart. I found the grace and glory of His gospel message. And I'm making a choice in my heart, in my mind, in my soul. I am choosing to forget some things and leave them behind, and I'm going to reach. Amen. I'm going to press. I see here the power of pursuit. And I'd like to try to encourage us this morning to embrace this powerful thing called pursuing after our purpose and let God do something new and fresh in our life. Would you lift a hand towards heaven and just praise God for that possibility? Amen. Praise God. Amen, amen, and amen. I love how he says to us, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. Reaching forth. Do you see the energy involved here as he strains his muscles, maybe both physically and spiritually? Reaching reaching forth. I've got my eyes on something and I'm reaching after it, reaching forth, and I press towards the mark. Lord, help us today to get some urgency and expectancy and energy back into our pursuit of what is truly important in our life. Amen. The new things. I want to learn from the past, and I want to love those things that I can love in the past. But I want to leave in the past the things that aren't going to benefit me for in the future, because I've got my eyes on a prize. I believe that God wants to help the church in 2026. I believe that He wants to give us revival. I believe in the possibility of revival. Amen. I believe that the Joel prophecy, Joel chapter 2, that was quoted by the apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost, was only partially fulfilled. It is a dual prophecy. Study again and see what Joel said about revival in context. He puts it in the last days and shows all of the calamities that will be happening, fire and blood and all of that. And he said, in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Come on now. I believe that there is a hope that even in the last days, even with everything happening around about us in the world, there is the possibility that God might send a new, fresh revival. It may even start with the young people, because He said the sons and the daughters, young men and the handmaidens. But whether it starts with the young people or with us old people, what's really important to me is to believe in the possibility that just ahead, amen, is revival. And I want to reach towards it, and I want to press towards it, and I want to pursue it. Lift a hand if you agree with me this morning and praise God for it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to believe in the possibility of something new just ahead for us. I want to believe that there is a prize. Right now it may just be a little out of reach, but I'm going to reach for it. It may just be a little bit ahead, but I'm going to press towards it. I've got to keep my eyes on the prize. How about you? Praise God, praise God. Amen. I want to believe that this is a new year that has the hope of a new you. Amen. How about a new you in a new year? How about a new view in the new year? Amen. How about pursue the new of the new year? Amen. God, I want a new experience. I want a new and fresh anointing. I want to see new things take place. I'd like to see new people come into the church. I'd like to see new people come and get saved. Do you believe that that's a possibility? I think God likes new things. Doesn't mean He doesn't like the old things. We are told in other places, amen, to seek for the old paths and things like that. And I'm not going to re-preach that. We cherish some of those things, the old traditions, the old songs, the old things that we love. It's not just respectful to say that God does, amen, have new things in store. Behold, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Woo, how's that gonna be? Amen. It's because God does new things. He loves new things. And to make that personal, let me remind you, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. I'm glad that no matter how it's been in the past, no matter what road you have traveled, no matter how messed up your life has been or how bad it's been, it doesn't have to stay that way. The old things can be put behind you, and God can give you a new life, a new heart. How'd you like to see somebody experience that during this revival? Oh, amen. If a drug addict could come in here and realize Drugs aren't the answer to his life. Drunkenness is not the answer to his life. That old life is destructive, hurtful, and has no sense of purpose. But if they could hear about Jesus and realize that there's something better, something more, something new, I'd love to pray with somebody up here around these altars and see the miracle of a new creation take place right before our very eyes. Pardon me if I, amen, get a little excited this morning, but I believe that that is a possibility. That a man could become a new creature. Old things pass away and all things become new. Amen. So while I've been basically preaching to the church up to this point in the message, let me take a moment here to say, if you're here today and you haven't been a part of this church, or you haven't been a born-again Christian, and your life has been full of things that you regret and don't want to continue to have a grip on your life, that can all change right here. Today, amen, because God has the power to make all things new. Amen. A new heart, a new start, a new chart, amen. How's that for some poetic ramblings, amen? Praise God. He wants to give you a new start in your life. Why not start right here at the beginning of the year? Listen, your life didn't change just because you put a new calendar on the wall. It gives you hope of a new year, but the change happens here at the altar, calling upon the Lord and allowing Him to work in your life. And when you do that, He takes out the stony heart of flesh, according to Ezekiel the prophet. He takes out the stony heart of flesh. Don't ask me how that surgery takes place invisibly here at the altar, but it happened to me. This former long-haired hitchhiking hippie, amen, from back in the 70s, found Jesus, and He took out the old heart and put in a new heart, and suddenly everything changed. A new heart, a new start, and, amen, a new chart. How I'm going to live my life, praise the Lord. I love in our travels the experiences we've had in seeing people give their lives to the Lord and realize that it is possible for drunkards to have a new start in their life. Amen. For drug addicts, like that young lady out in Cisco, Texas, preaching there years ago. She had come to the altar that morning. I'd preached on the prodigal son, and afterwards she came up and she said, "Brother Blue, you preached on the prodigal son, but I'm the prodigal daughter." This was way out in West Texas, and she said, "3 days ago I was down in South Florida on a dead-end street. My life was in an alley. I was messed up. I was addicted to cocaine, and I had spent all. I was in bad condition. And a voice spoke to me and said, 'It's time for you to go home.'" She said, "I called my parents and made arrangements, and they got me home." And she said, I just got home yesterday, and Mom and Dad said, "We're starting revival tomorrow. Why don't you come with us to church?" And she came, amen, and I got to see her pour out her pain of the past on that altar and pray through to a new life. Little church in Southern Illinois, Alto Pass, friend of ours, pastors there. Hey, man, we were having a special service. I can't remember if they called it a rally or a fellowship meeting, but Friday night. And so their little church, they put together a choir and they practiced a song for that night. And when they called the choir up, the choir director got up and he said, "While the choir's getting ready here, I just want to tell all of you who are visitors and may not know this. This is a choir of misfits." And he said, "Up here in this choir, we have a former drug addict. We have a former alcoholic. We have a person that has gotten over years of painful abuse.
We have somebody in this choir, and he went down the list of the least likely possibilities of choir members that you could imagine. But what he was referring to is the change that had happened in their lives. Because they weren't singing on that choir in their alcoholic state and in their drug-induced state. And amen. He was making the point that this choir has a past. Amen. But that past is in the past. And now all things are new. Praise God. Oh, I wish to, amen, this morning that we could see the power in the pursuit. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't stop here. This is not how your life has to end. There's more. There's better. There's brighter. Amen. Pursue. You pursued by getting out of bed and coming to church this morning. But there's more. Press in. Press towards God. Press into the presence of God. There's more for us here this morning, even now. Praise God. Stand with me this morning, if you will. Praise the Lord. And Sister Jarvis, if you would have us some music. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. I want to press towards a new day. I want to press towards a new way. Amen. Not in the sense of changing my beliefs. They are convictions with me. But fresh, new, clear. I encourage you, press in towards new life. Let's press towards that new view and that new you and that new heart and that new start and that new chart, forgetting those things that are behind. I reach, I press, I pursue. Can we start this revival this morning by praying that God would give us some of the elements of that power in pursuit? Stir me up, Lord. I can't continue to just sit and twiddle my thumbs through life. Show me. Speak to me. Call to me. Expectancy. Expectancy. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this. Our first service of revival in this new year. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be here among friends in London, Kentucky. In my pursuit, I need you, Lord. We need you. And I feel that there are many in this place today, God, that you are pulling upon their hearts right now to make them conscious of the pursuit. In Jesus' name, would you give us some sense of urgency? Would you give us, Lord, some renewed energy right now, this morning, Lord? Because we want to pursue you. Would you gather with me for a time of prayer this morning before we go home? And Brother Jarvis told me to take my liberty here, so I don't know what your normal custom is, but I invite you to come for a time of prayer this morning. And if you'll lead the way, church, it may be that somebody that's struggling, a backslider that may be here, or somebody unsaved might join with you and come and pursue.